Book of James and chapter 4. Praise the Lord. My title today is Submit to God. Submit to God. The book of James was probably the first book that was written to the church, and it was written in Jerusalem to the believers, the new believers there, to guide them, to direct them, and to encourage them. So it's good to have a Bible, because you can focus in, you can write in it even, Christopher. All right? You can highlight things. You know, mine's got bits of yellow in it and that, and I've done all that, so it's okay. Make it your own. God speaks to you, you think, oh, make a note on that. Just do it. It's good to remind yourself. And so let's read from verse 1. And I'm going to read from a different translation slightly, and I found this and I thought this is a nice sort of bit of information that it brings out. It says, verse 1, do you know why there are wars and struggles among yourselves? They come from within. They come from your own fleshly desires, which make war inside your bodies. You desire something, but you don't get it. So you are jealous and commit murder. And you still don't get it. You argue and you fight for it. It is because you don't ask God for it. Verse 3. And even if you do ask, you don't receive, because you ask so that you may use it in an evil way for your own selfish desires. Verse 4. You adulterers, don't you know that loving this world is hating God? The person who wants to be in love with the world becomes an enemy of God. And verse 5. The scripture says that there is a spirit living in you that makes you want to do wrong. Do you think the scripture says this for nothing? Verse 6, God will give you strength to overcome. That is why the scripture says, God is against those who are proud, but he gives help to the humble people. Verse 7, so put yourselves under God's authority. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Get close to God, and God will get close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Make your hearts pure. You have divided hearts. Amen.
Amen.
So my title today is Submit to God. And as we submit to God, we'll see God moving in our lives, changing things. I like this version that I just read to you, because it begins to tell us that there is a war that goes on within our own lives as Christians, as new believers even, that suddenly we're at war with the old nature. And the old nature wants to have its old ways, wants to do certain things, it wants to go with the old crowd, with the in crowd. And it's like, yeah, that's what I know, so I'll go with them because I'm comfortable there. But God say, no, this is the way. Come this way. This is a better way. This is a way that I have for you that will lead you into eternal life. That will give you purpose. That will give you great motivation and power. But there's this war going on. Shall I go back to this way, or shall I follow Jesus 100%? I remember a story that a missionary told. A young African boy came to the missionary, having given his heart to Jesus. And the missionary spoke to the young boy and said, how are you doing in your Christian life? And he said to him, well, it's like, he says, my Christian life is like two dogs fighting one another. Really? He said, yes. He says, what do you mean? Well, he said, whichever dog I feed the most gets stronger. So if you feed the old nature, the old ways, it will become stronger than the way of God. But if you will pick up your Bible and begin to pray, if you will connect with the Christians that love the Lord and feed on the Word of God, then you will become stronger and the old way will become weaker. And you will conquer that old way. Because the devil always waits for you to be weak. And when you are weak, if you're weak spiritually, then he's going to pull you down. The only time that the devil came to Jesus was when he was at his weakest. When he'd been fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights physically, he was at his weakest. He didn't understand that spiritually he was at his strongest. But you see, the devil works on our physical side. He works on our minds. Because you see, he cannot touch our spirit. Because we're born of God and our spirit is born of God. And it is that incorruptible seed, a seed that is perfect, that the devil can't put a stain on it. And so he tries to attack your mind. He tries to attack you in your body. He tries to bring you down. Because if he can bring you down in your mind or bring you down to a place of defeat and failure, he knows you will quit following God. And so there's this battle that goes on in our mind. In James he talks about a double-minded man. Doesn't get anything. Shall I go this way? Which way shall I go? What shall I go and get this? Oh, shall I go and get that? And they're going backwards and forwards and they're just... And in the end, they get nothing. When Jesus came to the earth, he wasn't double-minded. He had purpose. He had a future. He had a goal. He had a journey. And that journey was to go to the cross. He knew what his purpose was. He knew why he came to the earth. He knew what his destiny was. But he didn't shy away from his purpose and his destiny and the journey. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Because of him deciding that he was going to follow that journey and he was going to follow that goal and that purpose, that you and I today are alive and have eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so he began that journey and began that journey to press forward. James 4 says, submit. James 4 and verse 7, it says, submit yourself to God. Submit to God. Stop trying to go against Him. Surrender your life to Him. Allow Him to give you purpose. Allow Him to give you a new future and a new hope. Allow Him to shape and to forge your life. And in so doing, you'll have a journey that is exciting. You'll have a journey that is satisfying. You'll have a journey that will take you to places you never expected to go. But it comes out of submitting to Christ, submitting to God, submitting to having a friendship, a relationship. And that's not a friendship or a relationship like many people have today on Facebook or WhatsApp or Instagram. Those are not friendships, are they? You know what I mean? It's like, friendship is when somebody goes out of their way for you. Friendship is when somebody does something for you and you didn't ask them to do it because they are thinking about you. That's friendship. Because you're on their mind. They know you. They know what you have need of. And they decide to do something for you. That's a friend. You know, when you've got a job to do and the job's bigger than you, and somebody says, I'll come and give you a hand. Yeah, they do it on Facebook. Good luck with it, mate. Hope you get it done. Great. Thank you for that moral support. The thing is, I don't need moral support. I need some physical oomph behind this one. You don't get that through Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, or any other app that you can lay your hands on. Friendship is an actual physical action. God wants to be a friend for you. God wants to be my friend. And in that friendship, God begins to act on our behalf. Jesus came to be our friend, to restore us back to God. And so He acted on our behalf. He took our punishment. He took the sickness and the punishment for our sins. He took them upon Himself. That in doing so, we could go and speak to our Heavenly Father again and have a relationship. Submit to God. Let God come into your life. Surrender the keys of your life, basically, is what it's saying. Do you know where you're going? Most of the young people today on our streets do not know where they are going, do they? Most of them are living with no hope, no purpose, no future, no destiny. Living life just for the, when it's drug addicts, just for the next fix. Living life just for the next liter of lager. Living life just for the next meal. That's not a life with a purpose and a future. God did not create us to live life like that. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it with an abundance. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10. I quote it often because it's true. Because my life, my experience has been that Jesus came into my life to give to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in my life. God has given to me an abundance. Why? Because I just gave everything I had to Him. I tell you what, it was the best exchange. It was like saying to God, I've got all this, you can have it, Lord. Yeah. And he says, great, I'll take it, Andrew. And then he says, and I've got all of this. And you can have it, Andrew. And you go, wow. How did he do that? He did it because he loves us. He did it because he's God. He did it because he's well able. So what do we have to do in our lives? James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. He goes on then to say, resist the devil. Wow. Resist the devil. What does he mean? You see, the devil lives under the banner of pride, envy, greed, malice, hatred, bitterness. These are the things that are seated within the devil's patterns. Destruction. Why is it that he gets our lives into such a place where we are on a self-destruct journey until we meet Christ? The journey is a self-destructive road. Most people can't see it. Most people don't realize that they've journeyed the journey of a self-destructing life. And yet they never see it as they journey that journey. But the moment that our eyes are open to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we then suddenly realize that the journey that we were on simply led to a grave, and that was it. There was no future. There was no hope. There was no purpose. But when we got hold of Christ and Christ got hold of us, suddenly we discovered we had a hope, we had a journey, we had a purpose, we had a future. We were born to do great things. God created us to do good things. God made us to be effective men and women, to see the kingdom of God be established on the earth. God came to us, and so he came that these things might happen. So we are to resist the devil. And as we resist the devil, we will break his hold over our lives. What does resist mean? It means this. In warfare, it means this. Submit as a good soldier puts himself in complete subjection to his captain. Resist. Stand bravely against the enemy. This is where we're at. This is the thing that we have to do. We submit to the captain, the Lord Jesus Christ of our souls. We submit to him. And as we submit to him, then we promise that we say, Lord, we are going to resist. We're going to stand bravely. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 says, and having done everything, stand. 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 I've done everything. And I'm standing. What are we standing on? We're not standing on our strength. We're not standing in our strength. But we're standing on the promises of God Almighty. We're standing on the Word of God. We're standing on that which created all things. We're standing on that which created the universe and everything that is in it. We're standing on that which are the promises of God. We're standing on that which created heaven and earth. That's what we're standing on. We stand on Him. Christ, the solid rock on whom we stand. There is no safer ground. There is no safer promise. There is no safer journey than to stand with the promises of God. As we submit to God, it means that we become subordinate to God. In other words, it's not my will, God, but it is your will, Father. It is not what I want to do, but it is what you want me to do, Father. And that's the difference. Today, everybody wants to have their own way, do their own thing. And yet God is saying, no, you submit to me and I will take you to places and give you blessings upon blessings upon blessings. I will give you a life that is prosperous. I will give you a life that is good. In submitting, we say, I'm going to obey you. We're saying to ourselves, it's not my will. It's not my will. I gave my free will up when I asked Jesus to come into my life. I said, no more will it be Andrew. No more is it Grace. No more is it Joan. No more is it Esther. But it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Christ only in my life. And as we declare that, and as we obey that, as we submit our lives to Him, we're submitting our lives to the eternal God. To say, Lord, you take control. You're the one in control, God. Not me. But so often we grab the controls back and say, let me have a go, God, let me have a go. A few weeks back we were playing around with some of these, forgot what we call them. Drones, thank you very much. Yeah, these drone things, you know. So you got this control in front of you, you know. You set this thing off and it suddenly it's like, you watch it go up and then the wind catches it. It's disappeared into somebody else's garden, you know. You think, oh, you know. And it's like, you're trying to control it. And to be honest, most of us have got controls in our hands and we don't have a clue how to work them. You know, the things coming down, dropping in the wrong places, crashing. Our lives are crashing. Our lives are dropping in the wrong places. We're doing the dumbest things. We're in control. You know, I'm going to be sick in a minute, you know. Yeah, yeah, you're just wobbling all over the place and absolutely achieving nothing. Yeah, if I'd have given the controls to a young child who'd flown these things before, you'd just been flying it like, it's easy, look, you know. I'll show you how it's done. You know, throw all thumbs and there they are, they're off. And we're like, how does he do it? It's a little bit like you and me saying, okay, thanks God, I'm in charge. All over the place. God says, could I have the controls back, please? Give them back to God. And it's like, life's just, oh, yeah. Okay, now we're going somewhere. We're going on a journey with purpose. Sometimes we think we're so smart we'll take controls over. But you see, when we came to Christ, it was about submitting to Him. You and I are no longer in charge of our lives. The moment you think you are, life becomes troublesome and gets into turmoil. See, when we submit to Him, we say, I'm going to obey you. We choose to obey. And as we choose to obey, we will see God moving mighty in our lives. In that verse 7, it goes on and it says, from the beginning, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. And it says, and he, the devil, will flee from you. What does that word flee mean? I was trying to sort of think how I could explain that one. And I think I was watching a film a few weeks ago on TV. No, it's not them sort of fleas, Charles, where you keep scratching yourselves. No, no. Behave yourself. I was thinking how I might just sort of explain this and that. Suddenly said, oh, I remember I saw a film, and there was these soldiers, just a few of them, and there was some army in front of them, so they decided to charge at them. So they set forward and they started to charge at them, and the other army then decided to run away. And as the other army ran away, they actually ran to the rest of their forces, and so they met this great big force of power, and they just got wiped out. They thought there were just a few. They thought they were all still asleep. They thought they were an easy catch. But actually, the enemy had got up before them. The enemy had got prepared. The devil's up. The devil's up. And if you're going to run at him in your own strength and your own abilities, he will wipe you out. But you know, the picture I got was that as we start to tell the devil to get away from us in the name of Jesus, and we stand on the promises of God, the devil just begins to flee, because all of a sudden right with us is a mighty army of God's presence. And the angels begin to do warfare against the devil, and the devil has to flee, because behind us and with us is a superior force. And that superior force is God Almighty. And we see that the enemy will flee. You know, when the devil sees us, he should look at us and go, whoa, there's another Jesus. 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 When he looks at you, he should be able to look at you and say, there's Jesus. Because the Bible says that Christ is in us. See, I'm not preaching heresy. The Word of God says Christ is in us. And so if Christ is in you, you start to look like Jesus. You act like Jesus. And so when you act like Jesus, the devil has to leave. Because the power of God is resident, resides, dwells inside us. And when we spend time in the Word of God, that power of God increases. And literally, when the Word of God and our prayers and the confessions of our mouths begin to speak the Word of God, the devil just vanishes. He vanishes. He just disappears. And it's like, we can be like, we're just one person. But when the devil sees us, we're a whole army chasing him, driving him out. Our prayer time should be a time when we see that the enemy is being driven from our borders. That as we pray for this area, that we see our enemy is being driven out, and that these people are being loosed from the power of the devil. And as they're loosed from the power of the devil, we can then begin to move in and see them set free. But we have to pray that the hand of the devil is broken over these houses, over these people's lives, that these people that live around this area, that the power of God will come and begin to break the hold of demonic forces over their lives. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not our neighbors that we're wrestling against. It is principalities and powers that we wrestle against. And you know, unless the church gets to grip with this, we will not see God move. But we've got to do this. And it's you and I. We're the church. We need to do this. And you can't turn around and say, oh, I'm too busy for that. Because one day you're going to find out that if you say you're too busy, you're going to find out it's too late. The Bible says this, now. Now is the day of salvation. Now. It is now time to pray. It is now time to pursue the things of the kingdom. Not later when I've got more time. Because you'll never, never have enough time. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of healing. Now is the day of deliverance. Now is the day. You want to see a better nation for your children? Well, now is the time to do something about it. You want to see a better nation for your grandchildren? Now is the time to do something about it. You see, the church has been lazy for the last 2 decades at least. And we live in a nation that has become a godless nation. Because we've become lazy. We decided we just want to enjoy life and the pleasures of life, and I'm not against that. But when we do that, we decide to push God out altogether, and everything else takes priority. It should be God first. Should be Jesus first. Yeah. Everything else comes second. You say, oh Andrew, you keep saying that. Yeah, I do. And I keep saying it because I'll tell you this, for the last 50 years I've lived it. Amen. That's what I've been doing. And I don't regret it. Amen. So Grace and I have done that together. We've made sacrifices. Do you know God has always blessed us? And all I can say to you today, put Him first. Put priority on God. Put priority in relationship with the Word of God. And let's come together and let's break down the powers of darkness that seek to rule and reign in this area. Let's see the enemy defeated as we submit to God and see lives being changed. He says in James chapter 8, draw near to God. He says, get close to God. And God will get close to you. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Get close to God. And God will get close to you. Goes on to say, wash your hands, you sinners. In other words, begin to clean yourselves up. Make your hearts pure. How do you do that? By spending time in the Word of God. And allowing the Word of God to wash you and to cleanse you and to make you a new person. James goes on to say to the church, he says, you have a divided heart. You're like a person we're living with two hearts. You've got one foot in the world, you're enjoying all these things that the world does. And then you come and you decide to just have a little bit of church and that's okay. And then you go back to the world and say, well, I've done my little bit in the church. Well, as the world says, it's 24/7. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's no time off from God. It's all in or nothing. Oh, you can't be like that, Andrew. You've got to have a bit of latitude. Why? Did Jesus say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just let them beat me, but I'm not going to die. At least I've let them beat me for your sicknesses, but for your sins, you're still going to have to suffer for those. No, he went all in. He was beaten and marred beyond all recognition. And then they took him, made him march his cross up a hillside, and then nailed him to the cross. He didn't say, well, just a minute, this, you know, you've gone far enough, guys. I think that's enough. He could have called angels to come down and to stop this from happening. He could have left the earth with the job unfinished. But he didn't. Why? Because today he looked through the corridors of time and he saw you. He saw you. He saw you. He saw you and he saw me. He saw us down the corridors of time and he said, I'm dying for Esther. I'm dying for Charles. I'm dying for Chris. What God wants for you and me is that our hearts will be purified. In another translation it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Stop being double-minded. In James earlier on it says, a double-minded person will get absolutely nothing. Because they're too busy going from here to here and back to here and back to here, and in the end they get nothing out of it. They're neither happy with this life, neither they're happy with a Christian life. They're not happy with a life in the world, and they're just bumbling along on the bottom of life with no purpose and no future. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 23 and 24. And it says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there are any hurtful ways in me, and lead me in the everlasting ways. One translation says, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life. You know, if we're going to submit to God, when we submit to God, we're going to ask Him Father, search the innermost parts of my heart. Test my thoughts, look into my mind. And in doing so, Father, are there any wicked ways in me? And if there are, then we've got to say, Lord, I give you permission to deal with them, to take them from me, to reshape me, to remold me. And it all comes out of submitting to God. And as we submit to God, we will then have the power to resist the devil. And in resisting the devil and submitting to God, we will see the devil fleeing from us. And God can then help us draw closer to him. And as we draw closer to him, then we will see our lives being changed. We will see our lives with a greater purpose. And we will see that as we step day by day in our walk with Jesus, we'll see things happening that we never expected to happen. We'll see God moving in a mighty way and changing circumstances and situations around us. God doesn't want you double-minded. In fact, it says it even stronger in the churches in Revelation, where one church he says, because you are lukewarm, you are neither hot, you're neither cold, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. I don't want anything to do with you. You know what it's like? You pick a bottle of water up. You want it cold. You know, you usually go for the cold bottle, don't you? But if it's been in the car, and the car's been in the sunshine, and then you open this bottle of water, it's horrible, you know. It's still water. Isn't it? But it's been in the wrong place. It's been at the wrong temperature. And it's just this lukewarm. It's either, you know, you say, well, I'll have a hot cup of tea. Yeah. Not a lukewarm one. Yeah. Or a cold drink. Nobody says, can I have a lukewarm tea? Or a lukewarm coffee? Do they? You either want a cold drink or you want a hot drink. If it's lukewarm, it's like, what's this? Lukewarm tea. Oh, it's horrible. And worse than that, God says, if you are lukewarm in your journey and your walk and your personal relationship with him, he says, forget it. God does not do lukewarm. God is a God of passion and purpose. And he's looking for men and women that will have a passion and a purpose to go for it in God. And I'm just going to finish with this. When I read that scripture in the Psalms and it said, search me, O God, it reminded me of a hymn that was written in a revival crusade in New Zealand. In the very same town where our bishop, who was in our lives until he went to glory, had actually had a crusade there as well. And this song was written within just a few minutes. I believe it was 5 minutes it was said that this song was written. But the words are precious and powerful. Today's modern generation probably just don't think much about it. Sorry. That's the strap just gone. That'll stop it.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Lord, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Let's sing it together.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Find me, O Lord, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in thee abide.
Just want to say to you all, there's power in giving our lives to Christ. There's power in asking Jesus and submitting to Him. He gives us power to resist the devil. And when we do, the devil flees from us. But it's about surrendering. It's about surrendering to God. It's about submitting to Him. It's about making God 100% in control. It's about you and I giving God 100%. Holding nothing back. But saying, search me, O God. Know my heart today. Try me, O Lord. Know my thoughts. Everything about me, Lord. Surrendering to be purified. To be made holy. And just as Christ was made holy, so He wants you to be holy too. So I just want, let's just pray for a moment. Can everybody just stand with me, please? Mm-hmm.